Good people of Cathedral, we have a little treat today. There's a special young man who is making his first communion today, Ethan Samuelson. And we're so blessed to have another one of our little ones receive Jesus and love Jesus in the Eucharist, especially on this special first time. And he is dressed so well with a beautiful bow tie. Ethan, I can't resist the temptation to ask you to stand up, step in the aisle, turn around so everybody can see you. Would you do that? Thank you. I'm sorry, I don't want to embarrass you. Give him a hand, everybody. Ethan, the secret to becoming a saint is letting the mystery you receive today capture your whole life. As you know, we taught, and you know, that we believe the Eucharist is God. So everything you read about Jesus in the Bible and the Gospels, that Jesus we read about in the Gospels, you get to eat today. It's almost too good to be true. And so, my little friend, may you let it capture your heart today and let it determine how you live your life so you can have that beautiful gift of the Eucharist. Dear people, I trust you love the church as much as I do. I trust you feel as grateful to be a part of this beautiful church as I do. What a blessing it is for us to be a part of what we call this mystery, the church. Today's gospel says some very special things about she who we love. And if you came to Mass without reading and praying with the gospel, I encourage you to at some point this week, because it's filled with riches about this precious mystery we get to be a part of. I want to hold up for you just a couple, depending on how much time I have will determine how many points I go through. But let me just begin with those that the Lord spoke most clearly to me, or more strongly to me, in my prayer this week. The first is this. Jesus says in this gospel about the church that which is against me, the gates of the netherworld, will not prevail against the church. That this beautiful church we want to be a part of, and that brings us Jesus, Jesus will not allow to be conquered, to be destroyed. How assuring that is. How grateful we are to Christ for protecting this great mystery so she won't be destroyed, she won't be lost. We can always have her. I don't know if this is actually true, but it's recounted so many times and with so many historical details, I have to believe it is true. Cardinal Consalvi was the Secretary of State for Pius VII. Cardinal Consalvi. And it was in 1808 when the French army invaded Rome, took away the Pope's temporal powers, and sent him away under the power of Napoleon Bonaparte. And at that time, Napoleon met with Cardinal Consalvi, the Secretary of State, and Napoleon said, "I've come to destroy the church." And Cardinal Consalvi, who was obviously a man with great wit and great humor, said, "You'll never succeed. For 1,800 years, we clergy have been trying to destroy her, and we haven't managed to do so." This great hope we have in that. But the image gets better, everyone, what Jesus is saying. And we need to understand the images he's using. For years, I understood this as if, this thing that was against God was attacking the church, but the church would be able to endure. That's not what his image suggests. His image, he says, upon you I'll build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against her. An invading army would attack a city at its gates, which was the weakest point. The defending army would defend its gates. Jesus is saying, the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against the church's attack. That the church isn't just on some defensive enduring, but the life of Jesus in is on the attack, overcoming, busting out the gates. Before this gets too apocalyptic and too up there, where are those gates? And this is what we're going to find out next week. We see that those first gates were in the hearts of the people in Peter. Next week, we're going to hear Peter resist Jesus, and Jesus is going to say, get behind me. That the first place the church invades to get rid of that which is against Jesus is in you and me. And it's active. And so the fundamental thing we do, dear people, is give the grace of God acting through the church permission. Where I'm stuck in sin, where I lack hope, where I don't believe I'm the beloved son. That's where this beautiful gift of the church invades and frees and overcomes. Second, I hope I'm not making more of this than it should be, but did you see in this gospel, he says, blessed are you, Peter, or Simon Peter, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my heavenly Father. And then later on he goes, my church. This affection that Jesus has for the Father, and my church are a reflection of each other. In fact, I would like to think this. I trust I'm not a hopeless romantic, but the word church is feminine. So Jesus is saying, upon this rock, I will build my church. And for one to hear that in the same way a man says with tenderness, my wife, my marriage. In other words, dear people, this church, we can't understand her and enter into the mystery of her if we get beyond institutional categories and see that the first characteristic of the church is to recognize in Christ my beloved, who my heart desires. My church, my bride, my wife, my family, that we're dear to him and he wants to be our beloved and fulfill those needs. And so we should go to him for that. Lastly, Just think about poor Peter. He's a fisherman. And one morning he wakes up, and he is told, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Imagine that. I was excited when Dad gave me the keys of the 1977 Caprice Classic I drove. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Imagine. Have we lost the awe of the authority Christ has given the church? Unbelievable. Who had ever heard anyone say to any person on earth, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven? It's utterly preposterous unless the one saying it is God. And so what's most at stake, good people, what's most at stake when it comes to the uniqueness and the authority of Peter and then the extension, by extension, of our beautiful church, what's most at stake isn't you and me rejecting a fisherman. What's most at stake is us resisting what Jesus has chosen. That was beautiful emphasis. Could you do that again? Do you understand? If the other 11 say, when Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Actually, the Greek, there are four definite articles. He says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the God, the living one. Now imagine if the other 11 had said, Peter, we don't accept your teaching. They would have not accepted the Father's teaching, because it wasn't flesh and blood, but my heavenly Father revealed this to you. And so, good people, as a pastor of souls, as a Catholic priest today, in this secularism we live, in order to receive, live, and pass on this precious gift of love we have for our faith and the church, we have to embrace the beautiful mystery Jesus is doing today. The founding of the church in this crazy way of giving this fisherman and the 12 authority. May God grant us the grace to continue to live and experience Christ as our beloved, with great hope that he will not let us be lost, and let us humble ourselves before this beautiful gift of the teaching authority.